Hey Budgeteers, I'm your host, AJ Schneider, aka The Money Mom, and this is Everybody's Bad with Money. Welcome to season three. Before we jump in, a quick shout out to our incredible co-producer and editor, Eric Weisberg, who works tirelessly behind the scenes to bring you the best content possible. Love you, Eric. Everybody's Bad with Money. To be honest, I considered changing the name. Yeah, I did. But then it hit me. Everybody's Bad with Money embodies everything we do at Beyond the Green, where we believe that healing your relationship with money enables you to give generously, take gracefully, and appreciate every little moment in between. And let me tell you, I am really feeling that in this new chapter of my life, not just the money mom, but a human mom. We're here to help those who feel alone, ashamed, and guilty or resentful about money realize that they are not alone. We got your back. You are capable of making significant changes, and we're all in this together. Cue High School Musical 2006. In this season, we're diving deep into everyday financial stresses, bringing you candid conversations and inspiring guest speakers. Get ready to hear from self-made millionaires. Yep, pretty freaking impressive. Mindset coaches, and financial professionals who will equip you with tangible tools for personal financial success. Plus, something I've never done before, but I'm giving you exclusive access to our team's private meetings. So you're going to hear inside scoop on what we talk about when we're discussing real-life client situations and the advice we provide. I am beyond excited to share as much valuable content as possible to help you right now. So expect weekly episodes throughout the rest of the year. In this week's episode, let's dive in. Leah Rachel and I explore the emotional spending of Taylor Swift tickets. By the end, you'll be surprised at how deep you can go when it comes to concert tickets. Something you'll learn about me is that I can take any conversation and make it deep. Trust me, this is a very eye-opening conversation. And then make sure to stick around until the end because I have some epic news to share that you won't want to miss. Be sure to subscribe, join our community, and let's journey together beyond the green to conquer our financial challenges. Let's get started. This is our team meeting that we meet once a week, and I had to click record on this because it's just so relevant. And we have so many clients who are like in the process of working through this stuff. So share a little bit about like the consequences of making a decision and then making the savings plan.
Yeah. So one of my clients has two things that she's saving for in the same month. One is an international trip and the other one is Beyonce concert. So she committed to both of these things without having a savings plan for either of them. Her friend was like, you want to go to, you know, on this trip? And she was like, yes. Her friend did all the planning for, you know, her friend was like, I'll take care of it. So she was like, great. Just tell me what it'll cost and I'll be there. And then for Beyonce, she actually fronted the money. She didn't have all the cash on hand for her friends to buy a bunch of tickets. And now, months later, we're making the savings plan. Both of these things are happening in the same month. And when we broke down all of the costs of both of these events and looked at how much she would need to save every month, it was close to $800. And it was really shocking to her to see that. So then we had to, go through the trip that we could cut some costs down in. I mean, the international trip, it's an international trip. There are just costs you're going to incur that, you know, they don't have friends overseas they can stay with. They want to do activities. They're going to have to pay for food versus, okay, do we go grocery shopping when you're there for that weekend and, for Beyonce and you only go out X amount of times? Is there a free place that you can stay? Using points to book your flight versus paying out of pocket. Like, what are the ways that we can brainstorm to get that cost down? But it's a really reactive measure.
Right. The only reason why we have to like, right.
Oh, yeah. The only reason we have to go through that process in the first place is because the decision was made impulsively. And now we have to create a solution to plan for both of these things.
Yeah. Oh my God. I fucking love that point so much because it's something that I've had to work on with so many clients over the last 4 years where I'm like, we need to be a team. You can't go make, and like it happens once in a while, but like
I've had to fire clients because every time I got on the phone with them, there was like a new impulsive, huge purchase, huge thing that then now we had to go and like make a solution for. So, oh my God, I want to like spiral into a million places, but so what could have been done differently for our people who are spending $5 to $1,000 on Taylor Swift tickets, even $400, $300, like $200, that might just not be in someone's budget. So what could have been done differently?
Well, in this situation, this person does not live in the state where the concert is taking place. So it's a full trip, potentially looking for a concert location closer. For me personally, I know I did buy Taylor Swift tickets. I also...
You did?
I did.
Oh,
I did.
My God.
I did.
So jealous.
But I was so ready to not buy them if it didn't fit in my budget. My friend and I had discussed for weeks before what we were willing to spend. And it's not a trip for me, but it is a trip for my friend. So I wanted to be really mindful about the cost of those tickets, not only because of what I could afford in my budget, but because I knew that she would be making a trip out of it and I didn't have to. My expenses are going to be much lower than hers. So I wanted to be respectful of that. I mean, I was willing to say no. I love Taylor Swift so much.
I think everybody was going to that show because you all spent like 24 hours on tickets.
Yes, yeah. That's true. Like, and you know, there's lots of people that love her that unfortunately didn't get the opportunity to get tickets either. But I was willing to say no to something that I love so much because I wasn't willing to put myself in a financial position that hurt me just to do that one thing one night. And then how would I feel afterwards?
Right.
How would I feel after I bought the tickets? Oh my God, what am I going to do? Thank God I have that on a credit card, but now I need to move everything else around in my budget to account for that versus understanding that I had set a boundary for myself that I was willing to walk away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to like get real deep for a second on budgeting because mob mentality or like friend culture is so... Like we teach this all the time, like your friends influence your decision-making so much. And like, there's such a hype around travel. I mean, like literally everybody's going to Europe this summer. Like they're like United just announced 20 more flights per day from New York to London.
My God.
Every day. Like that's like every 15 minutes they're going to London. There's this feeling of being a part of something and being a part of this movement. And what your budget does is it creates like a relationship with your money and yourself that like you have this anchor in that potential of excitement. Because that's never going away. If you have friends, you're always going to be drawn to the direction that everybody else is being drawn to. Like there's a reason why you're friends with them. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why you enjoy being with them. And as a culture, like there's an excitement, there's like a flurry of energy there. And your budget becomes this like anchor where you, even though your friend was included in this process, you could put yourself first and your budget first and prioritize that. That's like the power of having your finances in order and having a budget that holds you accountable to your own life. I think what upsets me so much, because something that I teach is like, I don't care. We'll pay off your debt. You know, I want you to live your life while you're doing these things too. I'm kind of leaning like to the extreme of like a Dave Ramsey where it's like, you have to like be responsible to yourself and to your future. And there's such dire consequences if you aren't. I know we're far away. I'm 34. We're in our 20s. We're in our 40s. We're far away from those consequences, but we're really not. We might think we're far away from the consequence of like, oh, I didn't save enough money for retirement. But like something horrible can happen tomorrow and you might have to take off work. You might have to go and rush and deal with something that was totally unexpected and totally unplanned. And the last thing you want to worry about is, can you afford rent? And the last thing you want to worry about is, can you afford to eat? Especially the eating. I mean, if you have people in your life, I hypothetically, you can get evicted from your home and put your stuff in storage and go live with somebody. But like, can you afford to eat? Like that's the last thing you know, you want to worry about in a moment of like true mm-hmm. desperation and challenge and adversity in your life, which is so inevitable and possible. It could happen at any moment. So it's like, I want you to go and enjoy the Taylor Swift concert. Like, I'm never going to tell a client no, unless like they absolutely don't have the means to do it. But what are the consequences for making, that's why I love so much that you brought up, like, it's the reactivity. If we can be more proactive, great. If we can't, and we were reactive, it's like, I really want you to sit with the consequences of like, oh, so I can't max out my Roth IRA this year. Like, that's less money that I get to retire with. Like, I can't go to my friend's wedding. Mm-hmm. The last piece I'll say, which is like a totally non sequitur of what I was just saying, but it's like, how do you think about things more holistically, right? Like, I was talking about this on Instagram recently. Like, it's your net work. It's not your net worth. So we know this client is going out of town. It's like, choose somewhere where you can go see your best friend. Mm-hmm. Like, choose somewhere where you can go see a family member. Like, how do you make this fun? Like, how do you make this like about a lifestyle, not a moment?
Yeah. You know, and the other thing that came to mind too, is like this, that it's emotional spending. I think we think of emotional spending being caused by things like our triggers or loneliness or depression, these emotions that can feel really heavy and that we tend to label as negative. But impulsive spending can be driven by excitement or celebration or joy, or like, you know, I think it's really easy to think about emotional spending when we're in those darker emotional places. But I think it's sometimes harder to observe when we're in those elevated ones, because I could go on and on about emotions and how we can't judge them, but a lot of people do judge emotions, and we want the good, the stuff that makes us feel good, more than the stuff that makes us doesn't. Mm-hmm. So then it's, I think, sometimes more challenging to be mindful in the exciting stuff, because we spend so much time chasing it, and then we finally have that emotion we want, and our mm-hmm. frontal lobe goes offline or whatever it is. But I think it's important to note too that like, that's an element of emotional spending. It's not just, you know, the depression scrolls and Amazon finds. It's the, holy shit, oh my God, click, 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 tickets, like whatever it is.
100%.
Yeah.
I think that also relates to that FOMO feeling that AJ was just talking about with friends too. And I've had so many clients in the very beginning of working with them. And when we talk about travel and we talk about their short-term savings, I'll be like, what's on your radar for this year? And those tough conversations of like, well, I just had a friend invite me to another trip to Mexico. And then I have this other bachelorette coming up, or I have a wedding. And you know, I've heard clients say to me numerous times in the past, I've just said, fuck it, let's just put it on the credit card, right? That's such a norm, I think, in this culture of, I want that instant gratification. I don't want to miss out on this trip. It is a good emotion. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a blast. We're going to create memories. I don't care what it costs, how much is on my credit card. Let me just swipe that and I'll deal with the repercussions later.
Yeah. It's always that fault. It's that reactive of like, I'll figure it out. I get a bonus in March. Mm-hmm. I'm going on my trip in January, you know, it's fine. But then it's like, oh wait, I need an outfit. And like, oh, I didn't account for that. I have to pay for my luggage. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, that $10,000 bonus ain't going to cover your $15,000 that you racked up in your credit card. Yeah. You know, I think about when I first told my best friend, Madison, that I wasn't going to go to Sri Lanka with her. And like, she was willing to put it on her card and I would pay her back. And like in the past, it would have worked out. I would have gotten a private yoga client. They would have paid me $500. I would have immediately given that to her to be done with that debt. And I would have lived off of nothing. I would have actually had to go into my restaurant on days off and ask for food. Cause that's what I was doing. And well, because like, you know, I'd have 13 cents in my bank account and I didn't trust myself to have a credit card because I was already in $12,000 worth of credit card debt I hadn't touched in 4 years. So I remember when I said no, and like the fear of like, oh my God, it's going to change our friendship. And also like, what does this mean about me if I have to say no? I mean, like I can go into all of the things that came up for me saying no. And I was just thinking about, I never think about what happened after that. So she eventually went on a trip with somebody else and they went to Argentina. And I remember her going and not having that feeling of fear and FOMO. And like, because I felt so good that I had said no. And she's my best friend. Like, if she wasn't my best friend, that could have ended our friendship and it would have been over. And that's really sad. But like, our friendship wasn't defined by me saying no to a trip and then not being able to be her travel buddy anymore, which was my identity in her life for years. And someone else got to be that role for her, and then somebody else. And I got to just be her best friend, not just this one part of her and my identity with each other.
Hey, it's your money mom, your tough love financial support system. You know me. We're on a mission to inspire 1 million people to take control of their finances because empowered people simply empower people. When you gain financial knowledge, you become a better person and can uplift those around you. Together, we'll conquer financial hurdles, build a secure future, and show up in life as our best selves. Help us reach our goal by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast because every action brings us closer to our mission. All right, let's get back into the episode and transform your financial future.
Phenomenon that's happening right now, because I still think we're coming out of the COVID era where everybody has massive FOMO and does not want to say no to anything. And what is the balance? And you know, you both are consumers. I'm a consumer. And like, how did, you know, as Taylor Swift lovers, like Leah, how did you prepare to sit online? And I'm so sorry. I know you didn't get a ticket. How are you prepared for that opportunity?
Yeah. Such a triggering conversation. No.
I'm sorry.
It's interesting because I still have hope, right, that I'm going to be able to get tickets, but I think it's a different type of I'm looking at it with a different viewpoint than someone who still has that mentality of, I don't care if tickets are $1,500 the day of the concert, I'm just going to put it on my credit card. Like, I sat down with my best friend who recently got her finances in order and, you know, wrapped up 6 months of one-on-one coaching. And we had the same conversation that Rachel, you mentioned. And I have more time to be saving, but like forecasting for it. I was like, okay, here's the date. Here's what we're willing to pay. And after that, very similar to what Rachel said, it's like, I can't exceed that because I have other savings goals. I'm saving for a wedding. I'm about to drive across country back to California in literally 4 days. And so I think it goes back to what we teach clients about the hierarchy of savings, right? Like this year, I'm putting less in my emergency fund that's sitting in my high interest savings account because I have my month's worth already in my emergency fund that I was able to say, okay, I don't need to be adding as aggressively as I was last year because I'm saving for my wedding, right? So my goals have changed slightly, and that's okay because things are going to happen, right? And then exactly what AJ, what you just said about this fact of like, we're not going to tell a client they can't go to a concert. Ideally, we want to plan for the concert and forecast for the concert. So it's sitting down and understanding, okay, if I am the biggest Swiftie in the entire world, which there's millions of us, and I know that I'm okay to spend $1,200 on a ticket, I would ask them, okay, that's definitely a big high value of yours. And I'm not going to tell you that you can't value that, but is it realistic for your current goals now? Because if you don't have your first month of an emergency fund sitting in your checking account and you're putting $1,200 towards a Taylor Swift ticket, that's a lot different than if you have 6 months of an emergency fund and you're saying to yourself, you know what, Leah, AJ, Rachel, this is something that I want to do. And I feel secure in my other savings goals that I can transfer this, you know, $800, right? Rachel, that's the number you said that your client has to save for this trip and the Taylor Swift ticket.
Leah, therapist question. Cause I just like got this like inner child, like pain of like, but I want to go to the Taylor Swift concert. And like, I don't know. I just like felt this like very sad little girl who was like being denied something. And And that's kind of sometimes the role we have to play for clients. And I'm just wondering, what do you think if like you were to therapize it a little bit of like, why is it so difficult to let go of that instant gratification, especially when there's like actual large consequences? Like these are, we're not talking $100 pair of shoes. We're talking $1,200 tickets, $800 tickets. We're talking travel, accommodations. Like this is a lot of money people are putting towards this really short-term gratification versus, and like even a client of ours who's working through goals and has 1, 5, and 10-year goals written down, where is that disconnect where like they don't want to give up this momentary pleasure to achieve some of these longer term goals?
That's a great question. I think it has to do with time. As we know, long-term goals, I mean, I can even just think, actually, let me answer your question first, because of course my mind is going to 7 million miles an hour. The timing of it, instant gratification, like Rachel mentioned too, it gives this feeling of like, it's addictive. You know, like you go, you wait all day for these Taylor Swift tickets. You're seeing people post about it on social media. It starts to become this thing of like, if I'm not involved in this thing that other people are involved of and sharing, then I am not enough. I don't get to be a part of this big thing and therefore I'm a failure, right? I think it kind of turns into this, like you are not worthy of these tickets, even though it was Ticketmaster who royally effed up that whole entire thing, right? But you take on, instead of being pissed at Ticketmaster, it's almost like you get, well, I'm going to do everything I can in my power to make sure I receive this gift. Almost as like a, you're using anger and this emotion to work through of like, well, I'm going to get this because I deserve it. And I think with savings goals and debt repayment plans, it's the length of time. I was just working with a client who is in about $30,000 of credit card debt. We redid her debt repayment plan and she's going to be out of the majority of it by 2025, 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't good enough for her.
That feels amazing. I'm sitting here like, that's incredible. Holy shit. 24 months and she's going to be out of $30,000 worth of debt. Like I am literally like, holy fuck. That's amazing.
Yeah. And her face was just like, oh. And I said, how, you know, and, but I think it goes back to that same feeling of needing that fix of, I am involved in this item that all these people want, right? Millions of people want to go to this Taylor Swift ticket. I have to be someone who gets it because I want to show off that I got it, but I also want to feel that feeling of like, I won versus long-term saving goals. You win, but that feeling is an instant. It's like, I know for me, when I'm walking down the aisle on my wedding day, I'm going to feel like, wow, I fucking won. But still, there's moments where I look at how much I'm saving. When I look at my daily budget tracker, I'm like, wow, I am putting so much money into this wedding. I just really want to freaking go shopping and get, you know, a new pair of shoes. And I'm like, no, it's not in my goals. And that's hard. Like, it's hard because I'm like, I'm not seeing the instant gratification, but I know on my wedding day, like, that is going to be the best thing. That's going to be way better than seeing Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I'm like getting emotional. Leah, you always get my heartstrings, but it's just like, how do you create that like daily feeling of winning? Like, the reason why I got emotional is like, I didn't even think you would bring up your wedding day, which is so heightened, but like, oh, like it's getting a cup of coffee at the bougie coffee place at the bus stop or now I take the train. I don't take the bus anymore. It's that moment where I'm like, I'm winning because I can afford it. And not all of our clients are in situations where like they're going from like, I was taking the bus and I had to get the cheap cup of coffee, you know, but like, how do you evoke that daily feeling of winning so that your life feels like the win versus the external experience?
That's a great question. Honestly, I think for me, it's when I do my budget. I mean, I do my budget mostly daily. I have grown a little bit and now I do it weekly. Not that that's a show of growth, but I'm just saying if you've been following along with my story, I'm known as like the daily budgeter. And those are my reminders, I think. I think when I feel frustrated into some capacities of like, oh, I have to wait so long for this, you know, it's my wedding's now almost a year out. I look and I go to my wedding budget tracker and I see, wow, this, you know, $1,000 this month is helping reach this, my dress, and I'm going dress shopping in July and that's going to feel so good. But I think it's because you have to be realistic. You're not always going to feel amazing in that daily moment if you're not getting the instant gratification that you want, right? So you have to work through that and say to yourself, what makes me feel safe? For me, it's seeing by not buying this $100 pair of shoes, I'm not having to pull from my other savings goals, or like I don't have to lower my debt amount towards one of my debts. It's like that then gives me that instant gratification. I think that takes time though. That's not how I was 2 years ago. Oh my goodness. I needed that coffee. I needed to like, I deserve to get this new pair of shoes. So I think it's really up to asking yourself, what is going to make me feel safe and secure? And then find a small thing that makes you feel good. Like it's okay to go and get that small, you love chocolate, going and getting that small chocolate bar. I mean, like, this is where I'm going to put that.
Yeah.
That $2 into today. So I feel a little.
$2. Where are you getting $2 chocolate? I love that. And I think for me, and I hope this really resonates with a lot of people, is that when I was planning my wedding, for example, and I was saving up for my wedding dress and I paid for my 12 plus two sisters plus two moms hair and makeup plus myself. I literally got off to the fact that I didn't have to ask anybody for that money. And I didn't have to be reliant on anything to make that reality possible. I didn't have to call my sister, a family member, and be like, hey, can you front me this? And that, oh, the dividends on that, I was not dependent on anything. I was not dependent on debt. I was not dependent on family, on friends. I could live with completely within what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, and how I wanted to do it. And that feeling was enough to make it so easy not to impulsively go and splurge on something I couldn't afford.
And I think too, when you get that feeling once, that's what you're going to then become more addicted to. If we're looking at it that way, it's like, you just have to get to that first marker. You have to keep telling yourself, it will come. And then that feeling is 100%. That's what your mind then shifts to, of like, I want to feel that feeling of gratification. I don't care if it takes 6 months, but that's more powerful than instant gratification.
It's so true. Yeah. Ugh. Rachel, going back to that question, how do you incorporate it into the daily so that you feel like you're having these small wins versus needing the external validation? What are your thoughts on that?
I have two. I think one is values. It's just, I feel like the money I spend is so aligned with what I value in my life that when I put money towards anything in my budget, it feels good. Because I'm like, yeah, I love my skincare routine. And yeah, I love, even paying rent. Like, I'm looking out at the freaking mountains right now. And that was my dream for so long, versus the, you know, cement wall view I had before, the neighbor feeding pigeons inside their kitchen view that I had before. It's just like, that is the, every day I get to look out the window and go, oh, wow, me saving super aggressively my last year in New York and saying no to going out places and inviting friends over to our place instead of spending money out in the city, that got me here where I feel so good.
Of course, there's things I spend money on. I'm like, okay, maybe shouldn't have done that. But it comes from a place of like, okay, that was out of alignment. The next choice I make is going to be in alignment with my values versus like shame or blame or letting that spur more spending. Like, well, I've gone off the rails, might as well just keep going. And I think the other piece is that I'm really, and I encourage this with my clients as well, I'm really emotionally connected to my goals. I don't just say, oh, I want to move to Colorado. I felt so horrible living in New York by the end of my time there. I felt so bad. I knew that anything I chose would make me feel better probably than that situation. And that was really motivating for me to think about how I would feel in my apartment in Colorado with my dog and the love of my life looking out at the mountains. And now I get to do that every day. The dog is coming, but you know, I think that emotional connection piece is really important because that is what keeps me grounded in my goals, especially if they're long-term. I'm not just working towards buying a house. I'm working towards the feeling of what it's like to own property and to own my home and to create the home that I love with my partner. I'm working towards the vision of my life that I and the way I want to feel. I'm not just working towards a house. I'm working towards what it feels like to be a homeowner. I'm working towards what it feels like to accomplish an incredible goal. Even this puppy, we've saved so much. Our puppy has an emergency fund at this point because we've had time. We had time to save for it. But every time I was like, do I want to order takeout again? I was like, no, I want that freaking puppy to feel so safe and secure and have everything it needs. And I'm going to feel so good knowing that as a puppy parent.
Mm.
Like I was working towards the feeling. And I think that's helpful too, because instead of the feeling of instant gratification now, I was like, no, actually, I care more about feeling that way in my future because this is going to fade. But like having that puppy love, you know, that's 15 years of just like indescribable, unconditional love. Like, I don't know. Like, that's what I think of when I think of that is like every dollar I spend is not only helping me achieve my short-term goals, it's helping me achieve my long-term goals and thinking of it in that perspective of like, AJ, you started saying it more, but it's not thinking about finances in terms of like hours or days or weeks. It's really thinking about finances in terms of like months and years and decades.
I love it. And I think like, I love that you ended with that. Cause I was going to challenge the Swifties and, everybody who's going to Beyonce and the next huge concert that's going to cost like $7,000 to go to, that I imagine that you're feeling a lot right now and you're feeling, how will it feel to be at Taylor Swift? And I think you highlighted it so well. It's not just that you're not just imagining the moment that you get the dog. You're imagining your life with this dog. And like, you're not going to be able to take a Taylor Swift concert with you in 6 months, maybe even in 3 days after the experience. Like ideally, hopefully, maybe you'll have a token of momentum, but you're probably going to have to pay $65 for it. I was like, there's no playbills at Taylor Swift concerts, right? but I love it. Is there any last things you want to say? I think this is such a valuable conversation. And I hope our viewers and our listeners know that we're not shaming. I mean, both Rachel and Leah have invested time and money to go to Taylor Swift. Like we love people doing things that set their soul on fire. It's just, it's a bigger conversation.
Thank you for tuning in to Everybody's Bad with Money. If you're feeling stressed about upcoming student loan debt or the consequences of spending a little too much money over the summer, don't worry, you are not alone. We have the perfect solution for you, introducing the new and improved debt and savings bundle. Imagine gaining complete control over your finances in less than a month. You heard me right. Our bundle offers 3 tiers tailored to match your needs and your budget. let's be honest. You might not necessarily have a budget right now, but we are going to give you everything we know about how to get out of debt and how to save. So at the end of it, you will know how to budget. For the first time ever, we're offering an exclusive option for one-on-one coaching sessions upon the program's completion. We have never, ever, ever done this before. We are caking it in. We are packing it in to the payment options that you can get one-on-one support. Take charge of your financial future with the Debt and Savings Bundle. This card is open now, so don't miss out on this opportunity to transform your financial life. Get started today and see results in as little as 1 month. This episode was brought to you by me, AJ Schneider, and Eric Weisberg, the incredible co-producer and editor behind the scenes. We'll see you next time. Happy budgeting.